Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and Friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends. Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and Friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Are you a keen Sheffield Live listener? Do you want to get involved? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and it gets better when you take part. Contact us to find out how you can be part of Sheffield's newest radio station. Call us on 281-4092 or email us on info@sheffieldlive.org. 93.2 FM, Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
This is Sheffield Live.
This is Communities Live.
Because at that time the housing was cheaper.
I know it's not a big city centre, but there's still quite a few shops I quite like it.
Dog and Partridge on Trippitt Lane every other Thursday.
Love the green room just for like acoustic nights.
This is Communities Live.
It's a very big question, isn't it?
We have a diverse society in Sheffield.
I like all the art sculptures.
It's friendly, there's a lot to do.
I really like the Peace Gardens. I like all the little fountains and little areas that you can just sit out and chill in.
Sheffield is a very nice city.
This is Communities Live.
I love Sheffield, yes. Love it. Been here 17 years.
I like Sheffield because the people are very friendly.
This is a large student community, so it makes it like very lively, very vibrant city in that regard, and also very multicultural, no?
And we love the Sheffield people.
Everything, the city, the nature, the outside of Sheffield, it's lovely. Great place.
Make a one man weep, make another man sing. Change your heart.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Communities Live this afternoon here on Sheffield Live. I'm Oliver Dixon.
And I'm Bradley Middleton.
And our fantastic producer, Chris Zanelli, will be on in just a few moments' time. He's just conducted an interview at the minute, which you may see in the next few weeks or so. But it's good to be back. I've not been back for about a month. How's things been with you, Brad?
Been all right, yeah. I've been trying to keep busy. Yeah.
What sort of things have you been up to in and out of the studio?
Trying to get a band together, been for like lots of big walks and stuff.
Yeah. How's the band recruitment going so far?
There's just three or four of us at the minute, but we're still looking for possibly a bass player.
If any bass players are listening this afternoon, take note.
Yep.
You presented a show about a month ago now, wasn't it?
Thereabouts, yeah.
How was that? I did have a listen to it, but from your experience, like having to present and control the desk, how did you find it?
Yeah, it was a bit daunting at first, but once I started to, you know, learn bits about it, I started to, you know, find it easier to do, like, the more I did.
Yeah, I mean, you'll be well-trained.
Yeah.
Whilst you're here, I mean, we will we'll keep taking it in turns to present.
Yeah.
There was one thing that did happen and got announced since I was last on the show, and we'll talk about this with Chris probably as well when he arrives. Def Leppard announced the tour.
Oh, really?
To start, and they're doing the Utility Arena in Sheffield next year in June. What do you make of that, the homecoming?
I think that'd be mint. I saw Black Sabbath there when they were touring the 13 album, and it's a lovely venue for that kind of, you know, that kind of music, like big band stuff.
And there is a gap, I noticed, in about the July time, and one of the days is in the gap is around the time when Tramlines is on next year. So do you think there's still a chance they could still perform at Tramlines, or is that just going to be their month-long break before they tour again?
Well, I'd imagine they would like a bit of a break, like here and there, but like it would be interesting. I'd very much like them to be at Tramlines. Mm.
I don't know if it'll be their last ever tour or not, or one of their last ones, because they're not getting any younger, but they've still got it in terms of performing.
Yeah.
We're just going to have a quick music break whilst we give Chris a chance, because he is on his way to the studio. Yeah. We are going to play some Def Leppard, actually. Yeah. This is Animal. Lust for life, the circus comes to town. Def Leppard and Animal here on Communities Live.
And you know what?
Hello,
Glad to be here today. And sorry I'm a little bit late. I've just done an interview about for 10 minutes, so sorry about that. Thank you for joining me, and glad to be here.
As I said before the music break, it's good to be back after a month or so. But that was Animal by Def Leppard, of course.
And you know what? Great Sheffield band.
Yeah,
glad they're coming home.
And you know what? I would love to see them. And also, if you're listening, please come to our studio because we would love an interview with you. You know, and I mean, you know, there's so many Sheffield bands I would love to interview.
Yeah,
There's definitely there's Human League, there's Pulp. I mean, Pulp were legends last year.
Yeah.
This year, because they performed at Tramlines this year, and it was a homecoming gig.
Yeah,
and I mean, I would love to get them in our studio, Human League, any Sheffield band. I would love to get in our studio, to be honest.
It's a big tour next year for Def Leppard. They start next month starting off in America in Gary, Indiana, home of Michael Jackson.
I want to ask you, is it going to be, because if I remembered right, didn't we play at the Sheffield United Stadium?
Probably 2 years ago with, I think it was Motley Crue.
Right, yes, I think, yeah. I can't remember are we playing there this year, or is it going to be at
just the arena.
It's just at the arena, right.
Which they did a few years ago as well, and seemed good, but starting off in the United States and finishing in Dubai in August next year, but they are playing throughout the United Kingdom and Europe as well, with a show in Glasgow as well. So if you've already got tickets, it'd be a good show. I think there's still some tickets available, but don't quote me on it. But if there is, it might be worth considering.
I mean, definitely, if you'd like the likes of Bon Jovi, Guns N' Roses, any heavy metal rock bands,
sort of glam rock,
then you'll definitely love Def Leppard. I mean, they're the closest to a Sheffield Bon Jovi that you're gonna get. You know what I mean?
They're like this separate.
Yeah, definitely.
Very,
and,
very similar.
And I mean, I was watching a program called Porn Stars, which is like going to a pawn shop when we show where they sell and we have this guitar. And it was one of the members of
I think I know what episode you're about.
Def Leppard. Yeah. And the way he played that guitar, I mean, for 10 seconds, I mean, wow. And he did that, and it's like, well, you know, wonder you're very popular in America and stuff like that. Because, you know what? I hope they come to Tramlines as well, which
we were saying there is a bit of a gap in between their tour. I'm not sure if it's just a month's break just to, you know, let them rest, or because around that time of the break is when Tramlines is on next year, about, I think it's the 24th of July.
Yes.
Around there, so you never know, this still could get booked for Tramlines next year.
Well, fingers crossed. But I've also heard another rumour as well about another Sheffield band, and that was Arctic Monkeys performing in doing a tour in 2026.
Again,
I don't know if it's definitely going to happen, but it's a rumour I've heard. And I think it'll be interesting who we're going to get this year, because I don't think we'll find out until end of this year, early next year.
No.
Who we've got for Tramlines. But time will tell.
And speaking of Sheffield Music Festivals, since I was last here as well, we had the Rock and Roll Circus at Don Valley Bowl. Did any of you two go to it? Or
I didn't.
I tried to get tickets, but unfortunately, no chance.
I mean, I've seen clips of it online. That's as far as I got, because I was away for the first day. And away that weekend as well, so I didn't get the chance. But from what I saw, the headliners were great as well.
Who was the headliner that you saw?
Online, it was Bryan Adams, actually.
Oh, right, so you didn't actually go to the...
No,
I
just saw it, but clips online, that's how I would have loved to go, but I was unavailable, sadly.
I did get to meet Reverend and the Makers, though. I actually got to meet Reverend of the Makers at Tramlines, and I did an interview with him. And hopefully I'll get another interview with him soon at one point. But They were nice people, they were really nice.
Did you do an interview with a musician, was it last week? I saw on your socials. Was it another musician?
Yes, it was. It was I forgot who his name was. Oh, that's it, Ames. He was doing, he's got a new album coming out, and is also possibly going to be nominated for a Grammy. So
that's big.
So if that happens, we may get another interview with him. So
fingers crossed.
And I've also got another interview coming up, which I'll tell you later on off air. Unfortunately, I can't say too much about it, but I can tell you guys in the studio, but I can't say anything off air. But I'll tell you when we play our next song.
Yes, going to go into another music break. And speaking of the headliner who I saw the clips online, Bryan Adams, great musician. This is When You're Gone featuring Spice Girls' Melanie C. Top. Brian Adams and Melanie C with When You're Gone, and The Clash with Rock the Casbah. Two very good songs.
You know what? Great song, Rock the Casbah. I mean, absolutely. And that's, you know, from another legendary band, The Clash. I mean, it's you don't get anything like that now.
Short-lived, unfortunately, with what happened to the lead singer. But
yeah.
They had so many good songs with the short time they were
in the music
industry.
You know, it's like, you don't hear much song like that anymore now. It's more dance or techno, I think.
No.
It's all computerised.
Covers or remixes.
And I mean, it's like you're making covers of different songs and they're not always going to be the best.
No.
And that's the way music goes now, isn't it?
Yes. So we're going to go into a bit of gaming now, a bit of gaming talk as we usually do on this part of the show. And Chris, what's the game we're talking about today?
So, well, there's two games.
Two games.
There's two games I want to talk about, actually. So, one, I don't know if you two have heard of the franchise. It's only been come back about a couple of years ago now, and that is Silent Hill, which is...
Played it in the past.
If you like horror, psychological horror games, that has recently just made its comeback. I mean, we've had the great Silent Hill 2 remake. And I mean, if you haven't played Silent Hill 2 and you like horror games, I'd recommend playing Silent Hill 2, the original, and also Silent Hill 2 remake. Because they're the same story, but they're kind of different in a way. Because I think Silent Hill 2 is more scarier. invent the remake, though, because I think, and don't get me wrong, it's not. I'm not saying it's not scary, but it's like, do you get the feeling that now that we've got better technology and better graphics, do you feel like the scares are still there, or do you think they've dwindled down quite a bit now?
Well, I don't play many horror games, really, but I feel like having that better technology should help it make it more scarier.
Sure.
Because we can make it more detailed now with more powerful technology.
Sure. And, I mean, there's a brand new game that's just come out today, actually. It's called Silent Hill F.
Right.
And it's a... and they've gone a surprising direction about this, because it's not in an American town this time.
Mm.
They've set it in Japan. And you play a character called Hinako. I don't want to give too much away, but from what I've seen in the trailer, they describe the game as like... they described it in a way like trying to find the beauty within terror. Now, what the hell? What? Sorry. I apologize. Slip of the tongue there. Now, what that mean? What does that mean? The beauty within terror. I mean, what do we expect from that? I mean, there's so many ways that can go. I think
it's intriguing that it's in Japan, because Japan's had a lot of like horror-related like, stories, books. I think anime horror, especially.
Yeah.
I'd like to see where they go with this.
Yeah, I mean, sorry about the slip of a tongue here. I do apologise, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, they've gone completely different direction. I mean, from what I've seen, you wouldn't have thought it was a Silent Hill game.
Hmm.
I mean, because it's like when you're in Silent Hill. I mean, it's like, I mean, when you go into the, like, there's two different worlds. There's, like, the fog world, where it's all foggy and all that. You can't see a thing. You don't know what's in front of you. And then it's, like, it goes into, like, a real dark hell version of the other world. And it's like, it's all blood, it's all rustic, you know. It's somewhere
proper
you...
Proper horror.
Yeah, proper. Somewhere you really do not want to be. Let's just say that. And they've got a different way about it with this one. Because, you've got your fog world in Silent Hill F. But they've replaced the other world with something, they've called it like the Dark Shrine. I don't know. I mean, I think the jury's out on that game, I'll be honest with you. To say that it's supposed to be a main game as well, but they also set it as a prequel, and it's set in the 1960s. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what do you think? I mean, I'm open to new ideas, but do you think they should stick with... if it ain't broke, don't fix approach, like, you know, stick with what people should know? Or do you think we should try new ideas?
New ideas, I'd say.
New ideas.
Just have explore. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If it works, then build on that.
Yeah, sure. And, I mean, I'm up for new ideas, and I think we should experiment with new ideas. But
yeah,
I think also, it's like, there's some things like that you shouldn't mess with. Let's just, I mean, I'm not just talking about games, I'm talking about films in general, like, say, the James Bond movies. I mean, from what I've heard rumour-wise, they're going to make TV spins-offs of the films, which I don't want.
We still haven't had the new Bond cast yet, have we? We're still awaiting on
well,
that.
Well, I've heard rumours, and I hope they're rumours, because I definitely don't want whispers. And that's Tom. I'm sorry, and I apologise to everybody who is a massive fan. And no, I'm not saying he's not a good actor, because he is a good actor for Spider-Man. He's a great actor for Spider-Man. But for Tom Holland playing James Bond, no. I mean, I don't think he'll even do, if if I wanted James Bond Jr., I'd go for a 16-year-old, you know what I mean? But for James Bond himself, nah, it doesn't work for me.
No, and there's another game we will get onto, which has just dropped a trailer, but we're going to play the song, and Chris, you've requested but this song.
Actually, before that, we'll talk about it now, actually. I mean, are you a massive fan of Marvel?
Not massive, no.
I am.
Have you played any of the Marvel superhero games, like Spider-Man?
I played one of them from the PS4. I think it was a 2016 one that I played. Right. Was it 2016 it came out?
Something like that.
I played that one.
So, I mean, the first Spider-Man were absolutely great. It was fantastic. Miles Morales as well. I mean, shorter. It were. I wouldn't call it a sequel. It was more like... Well, actually, yeah, it is a sequel, but it's more like a mini standalone story. It was like an expansion to the first part of the story. Spider-Man 2, I mean, I was kind of disappointed. And the reason why I'm saying I was disappointed because Venom, I mean, and it's not a spoiler, ladies and gentlemen, because we actually did see him in the trailer, in the teaser trailer, so it's not a spoiler, ladies and gentlemen. But Venom is in the game, and he didn't have much of a role. To say that he was the main villain, the lack of Venom in that game was absolutely
all hype and no.
Yeah, I mean, from what I heard, rumor wise, apparently there was a lot of cut content in the game that didn't make it, and I think, and from what I heard, rumor wise. Tony Todd, who was doing the voice of Venom, and I mean, great voice actor, and you know, is a great actor as well. Rest in peace, by the way, is a fantastic actor. He did a great job with Venom, but apparently, he only used 10% of his recording lines.
That's virtually nothing.
That's what I'm saying. A lot, 90%.
In a big game as well. It's a massive game.
And apparently they're saying, like, they've cut an entire chapter out with all the symbiotes in it. It wasn't apparently just going to be Venom. It was, like, all different symbiotes in it. Now, there is, don't get me wrong, the symbiotes are there, but not, like, the big names and stuff, like the big villains, like Toxin or Carnage, Venom. I mean, but they were more focused on Kraven. The Hunter. I mean, Kraven is another villain that's been announced in the teaser trailer. So again, there's no. I won't go into spoilers, but I thought I would expect Venom to have more of a role than what he actually did, and it was really disappointed. And I mean, there were some side quests as well in there that felt flat for me. It didn't have that. Impact like the first game did, I don't think. Now, whether it was felt, I think it was rushed. I think it felt rushed to me, developed wise. But apparently, it cost them, and it's a lot of money. I tell you now, £350 million.
That is a lot
to make one game.
That's more than a lot of films used to make a whole film.
Yeah. £315 million it took to make one game. And I mean, going off topic now, GTA 6, which is coming out. Now, again, this is another rumour. Apparently, it's taken them £1.5 billion.
I wouldn't be surprised.
That's understandable. I mean, yeah. It's been in the works.
It's Rockstar, what do you expect?
GTA 5 just turned 12 the other week, and since then, development's happened.
But do you feel like the more money they spend, do you think it's still, even though they spend all that kind of money, do you think it still makes a great product, or do you think it's...
I'm not sure. I think it depends. Because from what I've heard for GTA 6, they've had in... Do you know what they did with, like, Red Dead 2, where they did all the realism, like your hair grows over time and stuff? Like, I've had they doing stuff that for it and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I actually like Red Dead 2. I mean, it was slow, Yeah. I mean, but you've got to persevere with it, because there is a great story.
Yeah.
But there is like over 100 missions in it, and it's like every mission you complete, it's like 1% of the game, and it's like, gosh, really? I says, come on, I want to, you know, you would have thought you get further, you do get further and further, but it's like, it's such a long story, and I think with how many years they made to develop it, it's definitely worth the time.
Yeah,
but you've got to do a lot of grinding. But do you think realism now is killing games?
I think it adds something that's, you know, because past games, of course, haven't had the technology to make realism, so it's just the same. So, because with GTA 6, I've heard characters age. Like the longer you go on with the story, characters will age as well.
I've heard that.
Which is, you know what, it's actually quite a good feature, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, there's some games that are, realism is a great thing, but do you feel like realism, they can be too real, if you get what I mean?
Yeah.
If it's too real, it doesn't work.
I mean, because you can't really put realism in Spider-Man or Iron Man or any superhero or horror game, should say. But it's like, I mean, but if you're talking
open world games, definitely
open world games, possibly. I mean, but like Call of Duty. I mean, have you played Call of Duty, guys?
Yeah,
in the past I have. Yeah, I've stopped playing it a few years ago.
I don't blame you.
Well, it's really gone downhill. Let's just say that. I mean, Black Ops 6. It was alright, it wasn't the best one.
I struggled with Black Ops 6.
Yeah, I tried it, but it's... I was expecting more from the Gulf War than what we actually got.
Yeah.
It was more a case of like a spy story.
Yeah.
Have you seen the trailer for Black Ops 7?
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to Black Ops 7
I don't like what I've seen so far, I'll be honest. I mean,
it's almost like Black Ops 2 Mark 2, in a way.
Well, it is a sequel to Black Ops 2. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. It's like, I don't like what I'm seeing. It's too future. You don't want a futuristic game when it's actually supposed to be a game that's based on real life. I mean, you're probably seeing technology what is not even invented yet, which is like might not be even invented until about another couple of hundred years even.
Yeah.
But it's like, from what I've seen, it's more, they're going down more sci-fi routes, and it's not,
which never suited COD for me.
No,
I mean, look at Infinite War.
Yeah,
I can't really say much about that game.
I stopped playing COD at around that time for a bit.
Well, I'm
not being funny. If I wanted a Call of Duty Star Wars, I'll just play Star Wars. I don't. Let's just play Battlefront. We don't want a Call of Duty Star Wars kind of game. We want something that's actually closer to real life. I mean, there's so many stories of it. I mean, why can't we go like to the American Civil War, explore that, or the Roman Wars and stuff like that? It's Call of Duty, not a sci-fi story or an action game. I mean, Modern Warfare, and I mean Modern Warfare 4, Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, great game.
Yeah.
Great game there and that. I mean, one of the best games, and that's all you need, really. You don't need any other Call of Duty, as far as I'm concerned. But, I mean, they've just gone downhill with the yearly approach, and I think it needs a break there.
Yeah, definitely.
A year or two and then come back.
But saying that, what do you reckon to Battlefield 6?
Oh, I played the open beta and I loved it.
The beta was great, because I'm getting the full game now.
I want to buy it. Do you know if it'll be coming to EA Play like day one when it's out?
I have no idea about it.
Because I've got a Game Pass which comes with it, so I don't know if it'll come to that or not.
I'll have to look into that one for you, so I'll check that out for you later on. I'm not sure. I mean, I think Call of Duty's definitely got its rival this year. And that's Battlefield 6, because I think they've taken on a lot more than what they can chew.
Yeah.
And I think, to be honest, though, I mean, with Call of Duty Black Ops 6 now, 7 coming out now, from what I've seen, it doesn't look that great. And but again, we don't know until the finished game comes out.
Yeah.
But I think it needs a rest now because we're getting Call of Duty'd out more than Call of Duty in.
Yeah.
And I think Battlefield 6, I mean, from what I've seen, it looks good. But do you think there could be unwanted surprises in that game, like microtransactions, which I've heard rumour-wise that there could be?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
But do you think that really immerses the game, or do you think it's more of a money racket for them?
I think it would be for the money if they did do it, because it does bring in a lot of money.
Because, I mean, it's like, then again saying that, Call of Duty's done it as well. It's like with battle passes.
Yeah.
I mean, you're paying, what, £100 for a battle pass? And that's to last for 1 year, and then you start all over again with the next Call of Duty. It's... Now, I understand we've got to make the money somewhere, but when you're paying 70, 80 quid a game, you expect the complete version of a game there. You don't need... I mean, DLCs and that are extra,
yeah,
I think. I mean, it's like an example. I'll say this and then now we'll put it on our next song.
We're coming to the end of the show, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. It's actually flowing, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like with Indiana Jones. And I mean, I love Indiana Jones. Massive fan. Well, first three movies are great. The best films. The last two, well, we'll not mention too much about them, but that's my opinion, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, the game that's come out last year, actually, 2024 for Xbox, and it came out this year for PlayStation 5. There was a DLC that's just come out a couple of months ago, and it was called The Order of Giants. Now, it's supposed to dive into more about this cult from the main story. I'm not going to say too much about it because it is spoilers, but I don't think it really needed it. I think the story was already there. It was already a completed story. But the DLC, it didn't really need it. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a good expansion for anybody who wants to dive more into the story, but it didn't really change the story as much.
Yeah.
It was just more, we were just more like diving into this cult that was in the game, and you were exploring another location.
Yeah.
But I think that's what you call cut content. I mean, it's like, and I think that's what all DLC is, isn't it, really? It's cut content that you can save and probably build on it later on in the show, in the year, and then sell it off for another 20, 30 quid.
Kind of like what Halo did with ODST, in a way, do you think?
Kind of like, yeah. So, but, I mean, Halo Infinite, I mean, I was disappointed with that game. Really disappointed.
Still like the Halo series, but there is the odd.
And it was supposed to be a 10-year, we were supposed to be supporting it for 10 years as well, weren't we? And
Didn't they build, from what I've heard, they built a new engine to make Halo Infinite on? And now they've got another completely new engine.
Yeah.
Like, aren't they using Unreal Engine now?
I think we're using Unreal. We did, yeah. But it's like, the engine, it didn't suit Halo. And, I mean, Unreal Engine remains to be seen. But, I mean, to say that we're supporting Halo Infinite for 10 years, there was supposed to be more story content, more... multiplayer. I mean, we got the multiplayer, but you haven't got the story.
Yeah.
So basically, it's now whether it's because there was a lack of support on the game.
Yeah.
But no, I think Halo's gone downwind, unfortunately, and
it's another one that needs to like just rest a bit and then come back when there's some more ideas. Just give it a year or two.
But you're talking about it's also an industry that's talking about. Just to make one game, you're talking about nearly hundreds and hundreds of millions of pounds, and it takes about 4 or 5 years to make. And I mean, I played Death Stranding 2 as well, and I'll say this one. Now, Death Stranding 2, It's such a weird game. Now, this is how I would describe it. If you want to play a futuristic version of Amazon, or Postman Pat, should I say, then you've come to the right place. Because you're actually delivering pizzas, you're delivering cargo, and...
What, Amazon...
What a great action game that is.
Amazon, like, simulator or something.
Yeah, you know, it could be... You could easily mistake it called Amazon the Game or something like that. Anyway, we're coming near to the end of the show.
We have come to the end of the show, and it has flown by, as you say. But quickly before we finish, Chris, how can you get in touch with the show if you want to sit in the studio with us talking about music, gaming... other things like that.
Yes, thank you very much, Oliver. We are looking for more volunteers, and whether you want to become one of our presenters, or if you want to do a producing role outside of a studio, produce our news stories for us, then we are currently looking for more volunteers. So if you're interested in joining us, you can get in touch with us on our Communities Live Facebook page. We also have our very own Sheffield Live website, or you can email me at chrisanelli89@gmail.com. Again, we have our very own Sheffield Live website. We have our very own Facebook page at Communities Live, and you can get in touch with me at chrisanelli89@gmail.com. This is goodbye from Chris and Ollie.
Goodbye from Oliver Dixon.
And goodbye from Bradley Middleton.
I'm just going to leave you with a minute or so of this song by Fiction Factory.
See you next week. Sting.